Hello and welcome to the GSC Grays Woodland and Forestry podcast, Trees for Farming, Your Questions Answered. I'm Peter Knox, a surveyor at GSC Grays and work as a specialist in woodland related matters for GSC Gray clients. Joining me today are Hamish Smales, a surveyor for GSC Grays, Robert Sullivan, the head of the Farm Business Management Department for GSC Grays, and Laura Curitan, a GSC Grays Farm Business Consultant, who has collated a selection of questions that she feels is prevalent to the farming community considering woodland planting. Laura, please could you kick us off with the first question?
So firstly, Peter can kick us off with how do you think and what do you think the role of woodland planting will be in the environmental land management scheme?
I think this is potentially quite interesting with the phasing out of basic payment schemes, which would originally put woodland areas as an ineligible area, so you wouldn't have received any funding for it. Whereas under the proposed environmental land management schemes, certainly within local recovery fund and landscape recovery, it emphasises the potential for woodland planting to be an area for which you can receive funding. So that offers the potential for farmers and landowners to increase their planting and their general woodland management in order to comply with those two categories.
In addition, Peter, there's obviously currently the hedgerows and boundaries funding that's available, which is likely to continue under the ELM scheme for improving hedges and putting in hedgerow trees. And also silviculture is potentially, there's opportunities for funding there where you're planting trees within a field environment as well. So it's not just the whole planting of particular areas of trees, there's smaller elements of funding available as well.
I think from the land agent's perspective and the wider estate, it's obviously something to take into account when you're looking at these ELM schemes and how you're going to manage your estate or the land property and the holding that you own going forwards. So the planting, how will that affect the land value of that area that you're looking to plant up? Because as we know from the Forestry Act, the precedent of once a woodland, always a woodland still applies. So once you've planted it, it has to stay as being woodland for the remainder of its lifetime. So I think that would be something as well to look into and take a broader view when you're looking at the ELM scheme.
So from an agricultural perspective, what role would woodland play in soil structure and improving soil?
Certainly from the farming point of view, there's two elements to it. There's positives and there's negatives. The negative one really is the concern we have in terms of how tree planting might impact on field drainage and field drainage systems to make sure that they remain operational and allowing water to drain away from the more productive agricultural land. But then again, from a positive point of view, planting up certain areas which historically have been wet and boggy, if that is the right thing to do, might well actually improve soil structure with being able to actually remove more moisture from the soil and actually improving the soil structure. So there's positives and negatives in terms of the from a tree point of view.
And I think bouncing on from that, Robert, there is also the point that the deeper tap roots of the trees helps to take away any compacted layer of soil, which means that moisture can actually get down through the soil more easily rather than running off. Additionally, the deep tap roots allow for the deeper bacteria and rhizomes from the soil to be lifted up through the soil to improve the nutrient content of the soil from below, as well as the content coming from above in the form of the autumn leaves falling and then decaying, certainly from the deciduous side. So there's quite a big impact on the nutrient content of the soil, as well as just the structure.
Yeah, I think as well, on top of the soil structure, how woodland planting is going to help with the farm. If you're looking at arable farmers, they look at flood risk and runoff, soil runoff, etc. So it's one which is a bit of a no-brainer in terms of the improving of the soil structure, as we've already discussed, but then mitigating flood risk and helping out the sort of wider catchments that we look at potentially when you look at river bodies and bodies of water and how they function. If we can stop the water coming in at the top end It does help at the bottom end when it comes out and reduces flows at peak times.
And Robert, in terms of arable scenarios, as a qualified agronomist, what is the other benefits that we could have to soil and nutrient uptake and nitrogen within the soil from a woodland planting perspective?
So I talked about previously about silvo arable and silvo pasture as well, where basically trees are planted within a field setting. Now, in those situations, the actual tap roots can actually bring nutrients back up into the actual rooting zone, which would be available to other crops over time. So there are benefits there. And like Peter said previously, in terms of the bacterium within the soil, all of which can lead to benefits in the fields. The issue that people have got to get their heads around is the fact of actually having trees within the actual farmed environment, which is not something that we see in this country that regularly. You do see it in other parts of Europe quite noticeably, certainly in the more arid areas where there are trees or rows of trees, fruit trees and things like that within, and there's pasture or grassland within those rows of trees.
From an arable perspective, as well as just the trees, there is also the point of the pollinators that would previously just be around the sheltered field edges. By having woodland around or in smaller fields means that those pollinators can have greater access to the crop that's in the field and actually improve the output. On the weather side, there is evidence to suggest that those areas that suffer from a large amount of wind and rain impact, resulting in certainly cereals falling over, and certainly for the mature trees, they can reduce the wind on an area 30 times that the surface area of the tree. So therefore, if you look at the tree on the field boundary, the wind coming in would actually reduce the impact on that crop by quite a significant amount when compared to the size of the tree and the size of the field that it impacts.
So we have talked quite a lot about on an arable scenario. Is there anything from the livestock sector point of view where woodland can play quite a big role in improving livestock health?
I think from a welfare point of view, well-designed tree planting can actually make significant improvements in terms of shelter and the ability for animals to actually get out of the wind, the rain, the snow, whatever it is. Actually, it can work the other way as well. A very badly designed tree planting can actually accentuate the problems rather than actually reduce the problems. So actually thinking a bit more about the impact the location has on the immediate fields around it should be a significant part of the design process. That will then allow potentially for stock to be kept outside for longer periods, which will reduce costs in terms of winter housing. So there are quite positive benefits to well-designed tree plantings for an animal welfare point of view.
Also looking at it from the nutrient perspective, certain tree species, I think willow is the primary one, where willow actually holds 70% of the vitamins that you would normally expect to see in a sheep lick. So by bringing up those bacterium and by having a better soil structure, you're improving the grass crop. Not only does that mean there are more vitamins in the grass that the livestock can obtain, but again, as Robert's touched on, by having a better soil structure, it means that potentially you could have your livestock outside for longer with reduced impact on the soil and the grass and a reduced impact on your farming expenses. So not only from a land management perspective, but also from a financial perspective, there is quite significant benefits.
Yeah, and I think it will potentially improve quality of the livestock, improve your productivity, which ultimately at the end of the day, when you're looking at it from a wider perspective, it increases your yields, potentially reduces the loss that you may have with regards to sheep if they're out in cold, wet, horrible conditions, if you've got shelters for them to be in and amongst. But the caveat is these sorts of schemes and ideas and anything that you're looking to do across your farm, your holding, needs to make sure that it works with your farming and your management system. So it needs real consideration and discussion with advisors, agronomists, land agents, forestry experts as well, like Peter, to have those discussions and make sure that you are able to make that informed decision, and something which will hopefully, if it's worked out in the right way, benefit the bottom line, reduce costs, and potentially even increase productivity.
I think going on from that as well, Hamish, there is a consortium of farms based in Wales known as Pont Bren, done by the Woodland Trust, a group of 9 farms that have changed their farming operations and, using some of the grant schemes available, have planted small woodland parcels, primarily shelter belts, and as a result of that have seen a 20% increase in their productivity despite having a 20% reduction in their land use for agricultural purposes. This is for a sheep enterprise. There's quite a significant benefits that can be sought if you're prepared to look at it holistically from your farming business.
So we've touched on quite a lot of soil structure, economic and physical challenges that might be involved here. Hamish, have you got any further information that, in terms of an estate-wide view of using woodland in terms of access, transportation, things that estates need to consider alongside a farming business?
Yes, Laura, I think there is, and it's definitely something that needs pre-planning. As we discussed earlier, those conversations to be had with your advisors when we're looking at a crop, if we want to call it that. When we talk about planting, this crop will last for 40 years. So you need to understand what this crop is going to provide at the end of the day and how you're going to harvest that crop. Obviously, when it comes to forestry, it's a little bit more than rolling in with your combine into the fields and then back out again several hours later and the job's done. So these sort of structures and infrastructure that you have across your estate or your holding is vital in making sure that, as well as all of the natural environment aspects and benefits that we have to take into account, we've got to make sure that the land is accessible or is made accessible in the next 40 years, because as well as the final harvesting and extraction, there's also the thinning aspect that you've got to come in and get involved in, and any other management that you need to do across the area of woodland that you're going to be planting. You need to make sure that you have the right kind of access so vehicles can get in and out, and it's not inaccessible for 40 years and then all of a sudden you find yourself stuck with a reasonable amount of value in your trees but no way of getting to it and no way of extracting it.
I think that's an important point, Hamish, because if you haven't got the appropriate infrastructure, if you look at it from a primarily conifer point of view, across a 50-year period, you could expect your conifer plantation to reach approximately 400 tonnes per hectare. Not only if you've got your felling machinery, but also you've got your loader. If you're then carting out a significant weight of timber, there are the impacts that could have on the land beneath it, and therefore having a structural track of any form could be of massive improvement. You're therefore reducing the impact that the harvesting operations have on returning the land to a good / usable condition. Then that's just going to come out of your end profit. At the moment, the timber prices are very high. There have been reports of people seeing between 60 and 65 pounds a ton, which is the equivalent of a square meter. But whilst that sees a profit, we obviously need to make sure that from an infrastructure point of view, that we do everything we can in advance of any operations to reduce any additional takeaways from that.
So Hamish has touched quite a bit on the costs that might be involved with woodland creation and some of the management aspects Peter's also touched on. From a cash flow point of view in a farming business, is there an initial kind of return that we might get, or is it going to be over such a long-term period of what those projects might be?
I think it very much depends on the type of land that might be taken out by the woodland planting that you're going to undertake. There'll be certain elements where the actual margin from the land will be very good, and that would obviously disappear. This is from growing arable crops or grassland or whatever, where the margin from the actual farming activity will be a very strong margin, and you might well struggle to actually achieve that back from woodland directly. However, there will be certain areas on everyone's farm which actually are not productive agricultural land, whether it's they're too wet or there are other sort of mitigating issues as to why they're not performing, but they are not good quality agricultural land, and therefore the margin that's being taken or achieved from those areas might well be minimal or even negative after your costs have been incurred. So most farmers should be looking at trying to actually work out what areas those are across their farm. And then really the question is what's the best thing to do with that? It might be that you choose to do some form of countryside stewardship option or elm option in terms of wildflowers or some other environmental management option. But tree planting is still another option in those areas. And overall, that might well be a better option when you consider all the other points that we've discussed previously to improve the overall situation across the actual farm.
Obviously, as Hamish has touched on before, the Forestry Act 1967 states that once it's a woodland, it's always a woodland. But obviously, unlike many other schemes that you could consider for those small parcels, woodland actually, it has a tangible financial value at the end, whilst there are grant schemes available for some other operations. But as well as that, for woodland planting, there is also the income that could be derived from the end of it. If we look at it from a conifer perspective, with the current softwood saw log reaching between £60 and £65 per tonne, then assuming that the woodland is managed properly, you know, you could end up with a revenue of somewhere in the region of £25,000 per hectare. Obviously, you need to discount your costs, sort of the felling operations, which vary depending on the accessibility of the site. Your initial creation costs per hectare of woodland, you can expect the creation costs of around £6,000 per hectare, which obviously includes your tree planting, your tree guards, your fencing, and any drainage that you would need to consider. Obviously, additionally taken off from that, you need to factor in your woodland management plans. It's quite often thought by a lot of people that the revenue from woodland planting is just in the timber production, but actually there is the sale of the woodland carbon units, which one carbon unit is the equivalent of a ton of carbon sequestered. The Woodland Carbon Code registered schemes can sell these units to private companies. With the rise in social responsibility, the value of these carbon units has seen an 8% rise in the last year alone, with a current peak of £28 per unit. It's expected to break the £30 barrier fairly soon. And considering that whilst it varies drastically on the species mix that you've got in your plantation, that you could achieve something along the lines of 400 to 500 tons of carbon sequestered over a 100-year period, that produces a massive income. Whilst obviously it's got a longer lifespan than timber production, which for conifer, as you already touched on, is approximately 50 years, there's a massive income that actually is there and is achievable simply by having planted woodland. I think the rise in social responsibility, this is one opportunity for farmers to actually gain an income from big businesses looking to do this. Thankfully, the Woodland Carbon Code doesn't actually have any limits on the size of the area that can be registered. You can register a single tree. Obviously, it's not actually going to sequester a huge amount of carbon over the 100-year period, but it can be just one tree. And therefore, if you are looking for a smaller parcel to coincide with your farming business, then not only have you got the farming improvement, but you've also got the income from your carbon. And then you've got the timber sales on the end. I think that's an important aspect from a financial point of view for farming businesses that are looking to diversify and are looking to reduce cash flow risk.
So for those farmers who are looking to get into woodland, what funding is currently available for them? And also the factor of, you know, if they're already in existing schemes, what can they do?
I mean, there are a huge amount of schemes available. And I think a lot of them aren't properly advertised and marketed, but you have the Woodland Trust More Woods scheme allows for woodland planting on areas as small as 0.5 hectares. So if you do want that to be incorporated into your farming business, then that's perfect to be coincide with the land uses you've got. Additionally, if you want something that's maybe slightly bigger and is, you know, looking at a field size rather than just a field corner size, then you have things such as the Woodland Creation Scheme, which is a minimum size of 3 hectares, right up to the 5 and 10 hectares of the Woodland Carbon Fund and the Woodland Creation Planning Grant. Additionally, I think we've already touched on drainage aspects. Woodland for Water is essentially a different tributary of the Woodland Creation Scheme, which has got a minimum size of 1 hectare, as long as obviously it's planted in a riparian location on the banks of a river or a stream and has got tangible benefit to that water course. Then you can receive the same amount of funding as you would for the Woodland Creation Scheme, which is approximately £6,800. But obviously it's for a smaller parcel size and therefore can have significantly smaller impacts on your farming business and doesn't necessarily require a field to be entirely taken out of operation.
And what are the maintenance requirements that might be involved for someone who's looking to diversify into a woodland creation or management system?
Yeah, I mean, from a maintenance perspective, in order to obviously ensure that you've got a crop that is of value, you've obviously got your thinning operations, which for a mixed woodland that's got both conifer and broadleaf, you might want to do a 20-year thin to take out a small amount of your woodland to allow the stronger trees to prosper, to then ensure that you've got a better crop that you could then harvest and indeed sequester more carbon from. Obviously, some of the costs for planting a woodland are going to be around sorting out the drainage, making sure there are proper ditches dug, and putting deer or stock fencing around. Obviously, you need to make sure they're maintained, because if you have significant damage from, say, deer or livestock, then you may actually end up losing a significant amount of your crop. Certainly from a disease perspective, there are grant schemes that are available if you've got a crop that has been damaged as a result of disease. But actually from a maintenance as part of livestock and deer control, they would be considered to be poor management from the landowner rather than something that you can't necessarily control. So it really is important, certainly from a woodland management perspective, to ensure that the woodland assets, be it the woodland itself or the surround fences, are in a good condition to help the woodland crop to actually prosper.
The only comment I would add to that is not so much in terms of the actual maintenance required or anything like that, but the maintenance in general that is undertaken occurs during the winter period. And therefore, quite often there is staff available from a farming point of view who could undertake that work on the farm within the woods at a time when they might well be looking for a number of jobs. So it actually does fit in quite well with farm labour peaks and troughs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Robert. And with that then comes the sort of liabilities and health and safety aspects. If we're looking to get estate workers, farm workers working on woodland in the sort of fallow period, shall we call them, for our estate employees, it's making sure we have the right sort of health and safety procedures, the right tickets, the right certificates that these chaps or chapesses will need to be able to undertake the work that they're doing. And then equally for the owner of the farm, the Occupiers Liability Acts of 1957 and 1984, you've got to make sure that we're covering our bases on that as well, which also brings us on to public access and whether you have footpaths running through your holding, where those footpaths are located, if the forestry will impact or woodland will impact those public rights of way, and also making sure, even if it's not a public right of way, making sure that there's the appropriate signage and you're covering yourself off if someone may stray onto your land unknowingly and then an accident happens. We're making sure that every sort of aspect is covered and mitigated as best as possible.
Hamish, I actually think that your point about public access is quite an interesting one. Obviously, everything we've touched on so far with regard to woodland revenue streams and liabilities, opportunities, challenges has been about the woodland itself. But I think that there could be some income sought from public access. And I don't know whether that's something that, you know, you could perhaps touch on from an estate management perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as we've talked about, every farming operation is looking to diversify their income streams, and permissive access and or other elements which will bring in the public to your farm. I think we're always trying to help with the one education process, but also help with the streams and revenues that everyone wants to have in their farming business. So that diversification, whether that be a farm shop with a woodland walk around it, or permissive access where you pay to walk around a nice area of woodland, which has a bit of open space, which includes a pond or a lake, as a tranquil retreat. There are lots of different opportunities available. Whereas if you were to look at it from a purely agricultural perspective, you wouldn't want members of the public walking through your field where you've got cows and calves in, predominantly because of the accident and the liability it may cause with those livestock. Whereas forestry, yes, we've talked about making sure we have our occupiers' liability and your insurance in place. However, if we're managing the woodland well, you can't mitigate completely, but you can make sure that the property is pretty safe for people to enter into the land, have a nice walk around, make it an occasion, make it a day out for people, which then brings another stream of revenue for yourselves. And then, as we've said, diversify away from the solely agricultural income.
I think there's a really exciting opportunity to be sought from that as well. The Woodland Carbon Fund grant scheme, which I've touched on before, actually has an increased sum that can be provided to landowners in the event that public access can be provided for 30 years. So if you're combining that in with your diversified businesses, then you know, not only are you seeing an associated increased income with the business as a whole, but also there is more grant funding at the beginning of the operation.
Yeah, and I think we've also got to be aware, do we want to try and stop access to the public, or can we harness that access, the ability that people want to try and get out and see the countryside? Can we make that an opportunity instead of it being a challenge? Make that opportunity, flip the switch on it, and try and see if we can actually get something from it as a landowner, and also provide that nice environment for everyone.
Robert, it'll be interesting to hear your final thoughts and views on everything that we've discussed and how that might tie back to the environmental land management scheme.
I think at the end of the day, what farming is going to go through a significant amount of change over the next few years as a result of the change in the support payments and the moving towards the environmental land management scheme. People are going to have to make some significant decisions about how they're going to manage the land that they're occupying going forward. And tree planting is actually one of the ones that people might well have forgotten about, or certainly mainstream farmers might well not have actually considered as part of this process. Now, actually, you know, there's no reason to say that this will be the appropriate direction for every single farmer to look at as part of their strategy going forward. But what we're trying to get across today is the fact that it is a practical solution. There are opportunities there for the farmer, both in terms of physical improvements to the land, the financial side of, and the returns to the farmer. And it's a different way of looking at managing your land going forward. And that's going to be one of the things that all farming businesses are going to have to look at over the next few years.
Great. Thank you, Robert, for that final summary. And thank you to Hamish and Laura for your input in this discussion. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you all very much for joining. If you feel there's anything you'd like more information on or would like any assistance with for your farm or holding, then please feel free to get hold of a contact at your local office, which you'll be able to find on our website, www.gscgrey.co.uk. Thank you very much.